April 23rd, 1937. I have begun a 3-day retreat today. In the evening, I heard these words in my soul. My daughter, know that I shall speak to you in a special way through this priest for the pastor, so that you may not yield to doubt concerning my wishes. Already in the first meditation, my soul was struck by the following words of the priest. I must not oppose God's will and God's designs, whatever they might be. And as soon as I am convinced of the certitude and the authenticity of the will of God, I have the duty of carrying it out. No one can release me from this. Whatever the will of God may be, once I've come to know it, I ought to carry it out. This is just a very short summary, but the whole meditation imprinted itself on my soul, and I have no doubts about anything. I know what God wants of me and what I ought to do. There are, in my life, times and moments of spiritual insights, that is, divine illuminations, when the soul receives inward instruction about things it has not read in any book and has not been taught by any person. These are times of great inner knowledge which God Himself imparts to the soul. These are the great mysteries. I often receive light and the knowledge of the interior night of God and of God's intimate disposition. And this fills me with unutterable trust and a joy that I cannot contain within myself. I decide to dissolve completely in Him. The quintessence of love is sacrifice and suffering. Trust wears a crown of thorns. Prayer involves intellect, the will, and the emotions. Today, there was a beautiful teaching by Father Plaza on the goodness and mercy of God. During this conference, my soul experienced the flames of God's love and understood that God's word is a living word. A particular examen is still the same, namely, union with the merciful Christ and silence. We have the examen of conscience, whether we are united with the Lord always, 24 hours over 24, and silence. The flower which I lay at the feet of the Mother of God for me is my practice of silence. Virtue without prudence is not virtue at all. We should often pray to the Holy Spirit for this grace of prudence. Prudence consists in discretion, rational reflection, and courageous resolution. The final decision is always up to us. We must decide. We can and we ought to seek advice and light. Today, during meditation, God gave me inner sight, inner light, and the understanding as to what sanctity is and of what it consists. Although I have heard these things many times in conference, the soul understands them in different ways. When it comes to know of them through the light of God, would illuminate it. Neither graces, nor revelations, nor raptures, nor gifts granted to a soul make it perfect, but rather the intimate union of the soul with God. These gifts are merely ornaments of the soul, but constitute neither its essence nor its perfection. My sanity and perfection consist in the close union of my will with the will of God. God never violates our free will. It is up to us whether we want to receive God's grace or not. It's up to us whether we will cooperate with it or waste it. In the last evening conference, which was a preparation for the renewal of vows, Father was speaking about the happiness that flows from the three vows and about the reward that comes from observing them faithfully. Suddenly, my soul was thrown into great interior darkness. My soul was filled with bitterness instead of joy. And my heart was pierced with a sharp pain. I felt so miserable and unworthy of this grace and conscious of my misery and unworthiness. I would not have dared to so much as approach the feet of the youngest postillion to kiss them. I saw the postillions in spirit, beautiful and pleasing to God, and myself in a beast of misery. After the conference, I flung myself at the feet of the hidden God with tears and pain. I threw myself into the sea of God's infinite mercy. And only there did I experience relief and feel that all of God's omnipotent mercy was enveloping me. So you see, although you have the kind of closeness with the Lord, it can't be shared. The pain is darkness. Until she came back to the altar and in humility prostrate on the floor to ask God his gifts. This is the day for the renewal of vows. Immediately upon my awakening, God's presence enveloped me and I felt I was a child of God. Divine love was poured into my soul, and God gave me to see how everything depended on His will. He spoke these words to me: I want to grant a complete pardon to the souls that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion on the feast of my mercy. Then He said to me, "My daughter, fear nothing. I'm always with you. Even if it seems to you that I'm not, your humility draws me down from a lofty throne and unite myself closely with you." April 29, 1937. The Lord gave me to know about the disputes that we were going on in the Vatican concerning the feast. The dignitary Prasetti did much work on this. Today is the renewal, that is, the profession of vows in the course of a solemn celebration. As the sisters were making their vows, I heard angels singing in the various tones, "Holy, holy, holy." If chanting so delightful and no human tongue could ever match it. In the afternoon, I talked with my beloved mother, directress of novices, Mother Mary Joseph. We walked once around the garden and was able to have a talk with her, although it was a rather general one. She is ever the same beloved mother, the directress of novices, although she is in fact no longer the directress, but a superior, and it is already 10 years since I pronounced my vows. She told me that it is impossible for religious to live without the cross. However, she revealed to me a certain suffering which I had experienced in Warsaw, although I had never told her about it. All the graces which I had received during the novitiate came back vividly before the eyes of my soul. Oh, how grateful I am to her. When my soul was plunged in darkness, and it seemed to me that I was damned, she wrenched me from the abyss of the power of obedience. My soul is often burned with suffering, and there is no human being who can understand these torments. May 1st, 1937. Today I left the nearness of my mother, my heavenly mother, although before every Holy Communion, I earnestly asked the Mother of God to help me prepare my soul for the coming of her Son, and I clearly feel her protection over me. I entreat her to be so gracious as to enkindle in me the fire of God's love, such as burned in her own pure heart at the time of the incarnation of the Word of God. So it's nice, I mean, before we say Holy Communion, ask the Heavenly Mother to prepare us. She's the one who received, you know, the Word of God in the womb. May 4. Today, I went to see Mother General Michael for a moment and asked her, "Dear Mother, have you had any inspiration regarding my leaving this convent?" Mother General answered, "Until this present, sister, I've always restrained you. But now I leave you completely freedom to choose to do as you wish. You can leave the congregation or you can stay." So I answered, "Very well." I thought of writing immediately to the Holy Father to ask him to release me from the vows. But I had left Mother General, darkness once again descended upon my soul, as it had in the past. It's strange that each time I ask permission to leave the congregation, this darkness invades my soul, and I feel as though I have been left completely on my own. While experiencing this torment of the spirit, I decided to go immediately to Mother and tell her about strange torments and struggle. Mother has answered, "That leaving of yours is a temptation." After talking to her for a while, I felt some relief, but the darkness persisted. This divine mercy is a beautiful thing, and it must be a great work of the Lord, since Satan opposes it so much and wants to destroy it. Such were the words of our beloved Mother General. No one can understand or comprehend, nor can I myself describe my torments. But there can be no sufferings greater than this. The sufferings of the martyrs are not greater because at such times death would be a relief for me. There is nothing to which I can compare these sufferings, this earnest agony of the soul. May 5, 1937. Today I opened my soul somewhat in confession, because it occurred to me that perhaps this is the real temptation, that at the time I asked to be allowed to leave the congregation, I experienced such great suffering and darkness. To this, the confessor replied that perhaps it was not the time appointed by God. You must pray and wait patiently. But it is true that great sufferings are in store for you. You will have to bear many sufferings and overcome many difficulties. That much is certain. It would be better to wait and to pray much for deeper knowledge and divine light. These are grave matters. My God, in these difficult moments, my spiritual director, Father Andreas, is away, for he has gone to room. Jesus, since you have taken him away from me, guide me yourself, because you alone know how much I can bear. I believe firmly that God cannot give me more than I can bear. I trust in his mercy. In the moments when I am between heaven and earth, I keep silent. Because even if I did speak, who would understand what I say? Eternity will reveal many things about which I'm now silent. When I went out into the garden, I saw everything was breathing the joy of spring. The trees, adorned with flowers, gave off an intoxicating odor. Everything was throbbing with joy, and the birds were singing and tripping the adoration of God, and said to me, "Rejoice and be happy, Sister Faustina." But my soul remains in torment and darkness. My soul is so insensitive to the rustle of grace that it knows how to talk with all created things and with everything that surrounds me. I know why God has adorned the earth in this way. But my heart cannot be joyful because my beloved has hidden himself from me, and I will not rest until I find him. I do not know how to live without God, but I also feel that God, absolutely self-sufficient though he is, cannot be happy without me. May 6th, the Ascension of the Lord. Since early this morning, my soul has been touched by God. After Holy Communion, I communed for a while with the Heavenly Father. My soul was drawn into the glowing center of love. I understand that no exterior work could stand comparison with pure love of God. I saw the joy of the incarnate Word, and I was immersed in the divine Trinity. When it came to myself, longing filled my soul, and I yearned to be united with God. Such tremendous love for the Heavenly Father enveloped me that I call this day an uninterrupted ecstasy of love. The whole universe seemed to me like a tiny drop in comparison with God. There is no greater happiness than when God gives me to know in theory that everything, every bit of my heart is pleasing to him, and when he shows me that he loves me in a special way. The strong interior convincing conviction by which God assured me of his love for me and of how much my soul pleases him brings deep peace to my soul. Throughout the day, I was unable to take any food. I felt gratified to the full with love. God of great mercy, who deigned to send us your only begotten Son as the greatest proof of your faithfulness, love and mercy, you do not reject sinners, but in your far boundless mercy you have opened for them also your treasures, treasures from which they can draw abundantly, not only justification, but also all the sanctity that a soul can attain. Father of great mercy, I decide that all hearts turn with confidence to your infinite mercy. No one will be justified before you if he is not accompanied by your unfathomable mercy. When you reveal by your unfathomable mercy, when you reveal the mystery of your mercy to us, there will not be enough of eternity to properly thank you for it. Oh, how sweet it is to have in the depth of one's soul the riches the church tells us we must believe. When my soul is immersed in love, I love the most intricate questions clearly and quickly. Only love is able to cross over precipices and mountain peaks. Love, once again, love. May 12, 1937. A strange darkness sometimes invades my intellect. I'm submerged in nothingness against my will. So often, darkness covers all the time. Sometimes just some light, and then go back to the darkness. May 20th, 1937. When for a whole month I had been enjoying good health, it occurred to me that I did not know which was more pleasing to God, by serving Him in newness or in the robust health for which I had asked Him. And I said to the Lord, Jesus, do with me as you please. That means in health and sickness, no matter what, still give glory to God. And Jesus returned me to my previous condition. Oh, how sweet it is to live in a convent among sisters, but I must not forget that these angels are in human bodies. You can understand the words behind. She is joyful to live in community with all the sisters, but they are human beings. On one occasion, I saw Satan hurrying about and looking for someone among the sisters, but he could find no one. I felt an interior inspiration to command him in the name of God to confess to me what he was looking among the sisters. And he confessed, though unwillingly, I am looking for idle souls hang around, don't know what to do. So Satan come to that soul. If you have always busy with this thing or that thing, you have no time to entertain the Satan. When you're idling yourself, television, telephone, the bird, don't know what to do, idling soul. The Satan is looking for idling soul. What I commanded him again in the name of God to tell me to which souls in village life he has the easiest access, he said, again unwillingly, to lazy and idle souls. I took note of the fact that at present there were no such souls in this house. Let the toiling and tired souls rejoice. So when we are working so hard, thank God for that. Yeah, idling, perhaps it's a chance. May 22nd, 1937. The heat is so intense today that it is difficult to bear. We are all thirsting for rain, and still it does not come. For several days, the sky has been overcast, but there is no rain. When I looked, the plants thirsting for the rain. I was moved with pity and decided to say the chaplet until the Lord would send us rain. Before supper, the sky covered over with clouds and a heavy rain fell on the earth. I had been saying this prayer without interruption for 3 hours, and the Lord let me know that everything can be obtained by means of this prayer. Divine mercy, before a dying person, helpful, even drought is helpful. Interesting. But she prayed for 3 hours, you know? Divine mercy. We may not have that patience to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. That's a simplicity, her humility. She's a girl that God loves, a pure soul, with that kind of intention, you know. So, learn from her. Be simple, be humble, and trustful in the Lord.